Hello, and welcome to Out West, the official podcast of the Western Governors Association. I'm Jack Waldorf, the Executive Director of WGA. In today's episode, I talk with Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon about the first half of his WGA chairmanship, including the 2023 winter meeting that took place recently in Jackson Hole, and of course, his WGA chair initiative, Decarbonizing the West. We also spoke about my first year as Executive Director of WGA, the association turning 40 in 2024, and what we hope the next 40 years will bring for the association. With no further ado, it's my great honor to introduce the 33rd governor of the great state of Wyoming and the chair of the Western Governors Association, Governor Mark Gordon. Governor, thanks so much for being with us today.
Jack, it's great to see you and happy new year.
So you're about halfway through your first year as chair of the Western Governors Association and having launched your Decarbonizing the West initiative and hosted the winter meeting in Jackson this past November. What does it mean to you to be the chair of the Western Governors Association?
Well, it's a terrific honor and I think a tremendous responsibility as well. You look at the history of this organization, of the leaders that have been part of this organization, you see a lot of vision, you see a lot of camaraderie, real understanding of the region and what's important to the politics, to the resources, and to the social fabric of the West. And there really is no organization that does it quite as well. It's pretty diverse. However, Wyoming, like Colorado, like Utah, we share these common principles. We're a people that are independent and have a strong sense of regional autonomy. But for me, the opportunity to take a group of really phenomenal leaders from different points of view and to work to try to make sure that our agenda is practical, common sense oriented, and has a chance to really resonate with the country at large. That is what's exciting to me about being in this organization and following the legacy of so many great governors that have led this organization before.
I'm curious what sort of lessons you have learned or skills you've developed as governor that you have successfully applied to your participation in WGA. And I might even ask, have there been any lessons that you've learned at WGA from your fellow governors that you've also applied to your leadership across the Cowboy State?
Serving as I have now for 5 years in the governor's role, a little bit before that as treasurer, these have been tumultuous times. We've went through COVID. We've had some of the largest drops in our revenue streams from development of our natural resources. We've seen the real explosion of outdoor recreation. We've had tremendous amounts of federal money that have been brought to bear following on a very flat business cycle. So to see how my friends in Idaho, in North Dakota, or even Oregon and Washington and New Mexico have faced these challenges and to learn the lessons from that, those have been terrific. But I would say overall, what has been really rewarding is the fact that when we come together and when we work together, despite our political differences, we can find commonalities that make sense, and they seem to resonate more broadly in this very polarized environment. And it gives me a great deal of hope that if we rely a lot more on the states and regional organizations like this, that the people in the country and our, I guess, our entire political structure actually can benefit from that.
That's great. WGA relies strongly on its bipartisanship. So last summer, Governor Jared Polis of Colorado handed you the gavel, so you became chair and you served alongside him as vice chair. Was there any advice that he offered as chair that you took or anything that you have learned taking on that role as chair of WGA?
Well, let me say, Jared's always got great advice. Obviously, our two states are quite different politically, but we share a lot of economic opportunity on the Front Range. I think we've had, over the years, a very good, cordial relationship. I can provide him advice. Sometimes he takes it, sometimes he doesn't. He'll provide advice to me. Sometimes I'll take that advice and sometimes I won't. But I do think that both of us, in fact, I think all the governors in Western Governors, feel very strongly about the authority and the sovereignty of our states and our ability to really navigate our respective states' economics and political environment, natural resource environment, outdoor recreation on our own without having necessarily the heavy hand of the federal government coming down on us. So in that, it's been great to have that shared vision about let's make sure the West is the West, not some idealized view of what the West ought to be.
As chair, you obviously work now alongside Vice Chair Governor Lujan Grisham of New Mexico. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with her and what have you enjoyed thus far in serving in WGA leadership alongside her?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Governor Lujan Grisham and I both came into office around the same time. Our economies are very similar, very heavily oriented towards the development of natural resources, fossil fuels, uranium. A lot of the companies that are in her state are in my state, and both of us felt very strongly early on, in fact, at the beginning of the Biden administration, we approached the White House to really talk about giving us the opportunity to really take the lead in regulating our own industries. We've also testified in front of a couple of committees in Congress. Both of us are trying to lead on things like methane regulation, carbon management, all of those things. And I think both of us also feel that our economies are not only tied to natural resources, but there's a strong agricultural focus to both. And so we tend to see a lot of the same issues. And so we tend to have a good conversation, a good working relationship between both of us.
You can see the relationship both that you had with Governor Polis and Governor Lujan Grisham is impactful across the Front Range, but also as you work together to effect meaningful change across the West.
The other thought that I think is really wonderful about Western governors is the camaraderie. We've talked about the former chair and the current vice chair and my time and role here. What I would say is under Governor Little of Idaho, there was a lot of engagement. Governor Ige before that, I think part of the chair's responsibility is to do the best they can to bring in the other governors. And again, I come back to the legacy of really meaningful policy that's developed because of the camaraderie across political lines.
Those are great examples of shared issues that our governors face on a bipartisan manner and working with our federal partners to make sure those challenges are brought to the forefront and addressed. I do want to transition a little bit to your time as chair and some of the efforts that you've led on in these first 6 months. So maybe we can talk a little bit about the winter meeting we just had in Jackson Hole, which was by all accounts a tremendous success and by no accident through your leadership and through your team's efforts to help WGA host such a successful meeting. But was there anything from the meeting that jumped out from you that was particularly meaningful or that you learned from that you'll use for these next 6 months and beyond as part of your WGA participation?
I thought it was a phenomenal meeting. The things I learned from that is that there is an appetite to really take on one of the toughest issues for the West, for the country, for the future, which is how do we provide reliable, dispatchable energy in a way that is able to reduce carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and really do that across the spectrum of things that are important in the West. Agriculture, energy development, transportation, recreation, all of these things were pieces of the conversation we had. Also, one of the great things about Western governors is that we are able to attract at a cabinet level in D.C., you know, Tom Vilsack, Secretary Haaland, and others to really have a meaningful conversation that hopefully can impact the way Washington policy starts to sort of emerge.
That's great. One of the key issues that we discussed in Jackson was your chair initiative. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about decarbonizing the West, how it came about, and you know what was the driving force behind this choice for you and your time as WGA chair?
For me, you look at the legacy of all the initiatives that have come through, invasive species from Governor Ige, Endangered Species Act, from my predecessor, Working Lands with Governor Little, the heat beneath our feet, Governor Polis's. We've been sort of revolving around what are the important issues in the West. And those are, in fact, the very resources that policy initiatives out of D.C. have the greatest effect on. Because Western states generally have very large tracts of federal land. And Wyoming, it's about half of the land we have and more than half of the minerals. So federal policies are extremely powerful influencers of our economies. And I think what Governor Lujan Grisham and I both were talking about in our initial conversations with the White House is that the policies that you're affecting in D.C., no matter how well intentioned they are, have consequence in the West. And when we think overall about how important climate has become in that conversation, a lot of the policies were designed towards limiting fossil fuel development. And in my mind, it wasn't necessarily an honest conversation. We needed to have a full fledging of what that conversation ought to look like. Carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is an issue. Coal development, fossil fuel burning contributes to that, I agree. However, there are great things we can do. Here in Wyoming, as you mentioned, we had our first workshop in Gillette. We talked about carbon capture and how important that can be for geologic sequestration. This isn't far off from the work that Doug Burgum, also another member of Western Governors, has been working on as well. And yet that's fully discounted in that national conversation. We look at our forests and the issues that we have to deal with there, where we've had massive wildfires, not only in California and Oregon, but in Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. So forest management can also be a very big part of that conversation. So for me, the ability to fledge this conversation out in a larger framework, it's not just about let's put coal miners out of work or let's make sure we don't have oil and gas. I think those are wrongheaded, just to be correct, because we can do some good things there. And we also know that we need to have those fuel sources for the foreseeable future just to have the standard of living that we have. We can also do great things with our agriculture, with our forest management, and with all of these things brought together, we now have a much more balanced way to look at energy development and resource management. And when I say balanced, when you look at Wyoming, we have some of the best wind in the world. And yet the footprint of wind development is pretty large. And so in these Western landscapes, it's not only the vistas that you care about, it's the wildlife habitat. And if we don't look at this as a complex situation and one that we want to balance, we run the risk of industrializing some of our most precious places. And we can balance that. We can do a good job for our children. We can do a good job for our future. And I think if we approach this conversation honestly, which is what my initiative is about, we have a good, robust conversation about how to move into the future. I have to say, one of the interesting things, and this is where Governor Lujan Grisham and I have both talked to Congress, and in fact, Governor Stitt of Oklahoma and I have done very much the same thing. By limiting production on our federal lands, we do not necessarily slow down the development of those resources. We move them to other places where the environmental regulation and the process and the care with which we develop those resources is not quite the same.
You had mentioned the workshop in Gillette, and then we had the second workshop in Boise. I know we're looking forward to having your third workshop in Colorado and then the fourth and final workshop in Oregon. After taking all these meetings and having these discussions with subject matter experts, all this wraps together for us at WGA into a policy report that we look to issue out next summer. That serves as the nexus and really the driving force behind our advocacy efforts at WGA going forward with respect to this particular issue. I'd be curious if you could talk a little bit about your goals now that we're about halfway through your workshop series.
I think that we can much more meaningfully address these issues, which are otherwise dealt with by legislative fiat from D.C. that are sort of politically driven, and really begin to explore a future that makes sense, is common sense oriented, and practical. And so what this document that we produce, I hope, is able to do is to be a bellwether of intelligent policy reform that is really designed around making sure that we have good employment, great opportunities, we do something about the climate, and that we, instead of saying, the only way I can win is if you lose, we start to talk about how we all can make better and greater opportunity for the future.
We here at WGA look forward to working with you and team and the other governors across the West to develop a sound policy report that we then can use, like I said, for our next step, which is advocate and get those policies implemented in DC. So we appreciate that. So I'm going to transition back to the larger WGA. You served 5 years as governor, heading into your sixth year, and your participation at WGA and leadership has been extremely instrumental for the organization at large. I'd be curious, is there anything that sticks out particularly that could only have happened at WGA?
I've been to a number of different governors' organizations, and they're all terrific. They all have great value. What I will say over and over and over again about Western governors is the fact that I can have a conversation with somebody from the other party, and we can talk about family, we can talk about community, we can talk about the ambitions of our people, and there's commonality there. That strikes me over and over and over again as a terrific format and a terrific way to proceed. I think it's also fun, you know, for the last several years, it's been a bunch of governors on a stage talking at people and a little bit of a conversation. What I think Governor Polis did, and I'm certainly trying to add on to that, is let's make it more of a dialogue. Let's make it more informal. Let's have breakout sessions. And so a couple of things that I think are really memorable about that is when you do have those breakout sessions, they kind of go off into different directions. And that's exciting because now you're really engaging with people who've come because they care about something. In the case of one of the recent meetings with outdoor recreation, it could have easily been, we love outdoor recreation, we have great skiing, we need to do more to make sure people get out in the hills. But it really broke off into, as we have more people getting into the hills, as we have more people that are venturing further and doing more dangerous things, what do we need to do to make sure that we can, you know, rescue them if they get into trouble? How do we help educate people so they don't do things like drive over a hill with a snowmobile over into a cornice and start an avalanche? Those are great conversations because they really apply to what people care most about.
They have been extremely popular, so I think these breakout sessions are here to stay at WGA. So I have a two-parter for my final question. As I mentioned earlier, 2024 is WGA's 40th birthday, and we're excited to celebrate another milestone decade. What does that history mean to you? And then obviously over those 4 years, the organization has grown and changed and met the times. I know, you know, things have been different. There's a lot of similar issues, but there's a lot of new issues and challenges that face the West as well. So I'd be curious, what are your hopes for the future of the association as we head into the next 40 years?
Well, for me, what has been exciting has been the legacy of real conversations about tough topics like Endangered Species Act reform, to have a crucible, if you will, where those conversations can happen in public between various parties that have led to some very consequential pieces of legislation, everything from healthcare and housing to, as I say, the natural resource space. The 40 years have been dramatically important, I think, for not only the West, but for the country. And at this point, my hope is that we have a country that is so divided, so polarized, and so focused on really, I'd say, cosmetic issues almost. You know, we don't, at a congressional level, dig down often deeply. At least it's not reported that way. My hope is that out of the West, you're going to see the real tradition of America, that federalist approach that had states coming together for common good, but also recognizing the importance of their individual sovereignty. And I think that's what our country is founded on. That's where our country has had its greatest growth. And that's where I think the West, uniquely in our country now, can provide that leadership going forward.
That was fantastic, Governor. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
So I get the flip on you now, right?
I guess so, yeah.
What about this association has made the biggest impression for you? You know, there's that sort of initial blush, but now that you've seen our words, what do you think?
Well, it's hard to identify just a few things. The year has gone so fast. We're always so busy with everything going on between the meetings and the workshops and developing the policy and working with staff, you're just going a million miles an hour. But a few things that stick out in particular for me is the work that you governors do together. I think the collegiality and the support and willingness to check your party affiliation and in some cases just leaving your partisan hat at the door to really come together and sit at the table to have meaningful discussions on the key policies that impact the region is just an impressive feat, quite frankly, in this day and age. To see that come together is really truly impactful. Another thing that really sticks out for me is just the dedication of the staff, from your staff, the governor's staff, to the WGA staff here. I think there's just such a tremendous amount of service to the West and dedication to the West that these policies and this advocacy and really the WGA apparatus and ecosystem wouldn't exist without the drive and the values that the folks on the respective teams put into it. It's really impressive to watch. It's meaningful to watch. And we're lucky to have such dedicated folks across the West that work to advance these issues. And in general, just the ecosystem of WGA, I think from the governors to staff, to all the partners, you know, local, state, federal partners, the NGOs, the sponsor community, you know, none of this works without everybody's cooperation. It is truly an engine that's made up of many, many parts. And I think without everybody doing and putting in the energy and the effort and the resources to come out with what it is that we do on a daily and annual basis just doesn't happen. So that has been what I have learned to appreciate. You know, I knew about a WGA, but until you really see it in action, you don't really know it. Having been here a year and seeing this at play, it's just been a tremendous honor to be a part of it all.
Is there any particular thing in this year that has stuck out to you?
I would say so many things, but I'd say one thing early on, in my first few weeks really on the job, we had a meeting with governors and cabinet officials. And, you know, you had Republican governors, you have Democratic governors, you've got governors in their second term, you've got brand new governors that are a few weeks on the job. And there were no egos, no agendas. It was literally just folks at a table with cabinet secretaries discussing priorities and of issues of importance to their states and also to the region. The back and forth, the conversation, oh, you know, what are you dealing with? That's what we've been dealing with. Or, you know, what have you guys done to address that? And then having the secretaries taking notes, you know, they're listening to you and taking back ideas. And I think there was even times throughout that discussion where they had followed up from previous WGA interactions that they had with you all and said, here's what we've done to address that. And thank you for bringing that to our attention. So it did affect meaningful change. And being a new guy, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks on the job, to see that all at play, you know, it truly did represent to me what the best of WGA is and really the best of what America is when we can actually come together and try to solve meaningful challenges. But also there's opportunities that when we do work together, it does raise all boats. And so that interaction in particular will always stick out to me and meant the world to me both personally and professionally and will absolutely be my driving force throughout my time here.
I have to say that it's just been so great to have you come on board. So much energy, so much excitement. Jim Augsbury, fabulous person to follow, to really set things up. But now it's the 40th year. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's our decade. It's our time to shine, right? It's a milestone that I think we should celebrate. And my goal to the team and what we talked early on is I want to be intentional about how we do celebrate year 40 here at WGA. And I view it as a tremendous opportunity to celebrate our heritage, you know, our past, as well as our future. My goal is to make sure there's a 50th and then a 60th, right? And so if I don't do my job, then we don't have that. Because at the end of the day, as the governors, it's your association. So I view myself as a steward, right? And my job is just to keep this wonderful machine or engine, as I said earlier, running. And as part of our normal day-to-day activities of running the association, ensuring that your governor's policies continue to be at the forefront of what we do, but taking that time to celebrate where we have come over these last 40 years. There's been a lot of folks that have contributed, governors, former staff, former federal partners. As you mentioned earlier, we view ourselves not as stakeholders here in the States, but as partners with the federal government. And so there is some major successes that have been achieved over the years, but there's still things to do, right? I mean, we haven't solved all the challenges and the problems that have presented us 40 years ago back in 1984. And so there's still work to be done and we have to be creative in how we solve these challenges because things have changed, evolved and adapted. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing, and then also using that to catapult us into year 41 and beyond.
We've talked a lot about how we have commonality and great issues that we can work on together, but we are very diverse. When you look at California's economy, California's drive, and I'm not picking on California, but you would contrast that to Wyoming, in many ways, people would say those are diametrically opposed to one another. They just aren't on the same wavelength. And yet we have staff of governor's offices that are meant to put forward the policy positions of each of the governors, and they are unique. You know, there's not a great easy answer on many of these issues. One of the remarkable challenges for staff at WGA, for you as the director, is sitting in the middle as the nexus of those conversations. Yeah, I mean, we've talked a little bit about things like endangered species, but there are huge issues in the West that we have yet to fully address. Things like water and native rights and other things that we're just beginning to get into in a bigger way. I want to compliment you and your staff for all of that, but is there anything you've learned from those different points of view coming together in a room to try to work together on policy discussion?
I'm glad you asked that. And I think one of the highlights of any resolution, you know, we at WGA have policy resolutions, as you mentioned earlier, that you serve as our guiding post for our advocacy efforts on behalf of the governors. And as an old recovering Hill staffer who worked in the policy space and then obviously spent some time in the advocacy world too, is I love that stuff. That's where the sausage is made, right? So I think it is a challenge because, as you said, each governor's staff represents their governor and or state's position on a particular issue, and they don't always align. And those can be challenging discussions. But as I mentioned earlier, the staff represent their bosses very well. And I mentioned that you all walk into rooms and you take your partisan hat and hang it up. So I think when you work from a place of trying to get your positions to be known and it's done in a respectful way, it certainly helps lead to discussions of understanding where there are areas that we could work on or where there are areas that we can't touch and we can't go there. Navigating that is the challenging part, but it does help to have staff and governors who come to a place of wanting to at least see if there's an area to compromise on. And I think that's where we should be as a country. I think Congress could certainly benefit from more of that. I think the governors and their staff are, we use this term all the time, that they're the last adults in American politics, because you do know where your differences are, and then we can put those in a place. But where are the areas that we do have agreement, or at least want to get towards an agreement, because we do have to actually get something done on behalf of our constituents that you all serve. And so having that as the motivating factor is hugely important from the outset. And yeah, there are some issues that we still need to address, and there are some that are going to be always a challenge for us to get a consensus on, and we work from bipartisan consensus. Without it, we don't have governor's policy. So our goal is to get to yes, but if we can't, then we find those areas where we can, and I think that's where we rely heavily on you and your fellow governors and your staffs to get us in those directions. And our job is to just help manage and convene so you guys can have that opportunity to make sure your positions are known and then where you can find common challenges to address and find common solutions to address them.
Well, fantastic. Jack, it has been such a pleasure working with you, and your leadership just hasn't missed a step. Really looking forward to being in DC with you, and congratulations on a successful launch.
Well, thank you, Governor. I appreciate that. And just really appreciate you taking the time today to join us for the Out West podcast. I only know WGA with you in a leadership role, and it set a pretty high standard. Look forward to celebrating year 40 with you, as well as celebrating the last half of your chairmanship and your initiative and getting that across the finish line.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Governor. I'd like to give a special thanks to Governor Gordon, and for all of you for joining us for another episode of Out West. For more information about WGA and how you can get involved in Governor Gordon's Decarbonizing the West initiative, please check out our website at westgov.org. Until next time, we'll see you out West.